Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful Wrestling. It's August 22nd, and it's our post-Raw review. This stuff is fun to cover again. We got Denise Salcedo here.
Happy Monday. Happy to be here.
Man, just so much going on. Johnny Gargano is back. Beth Phoenix is back. We got tons of scoops at FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. Anniversary billing now in effect. You're not going to get billed again on the 1st. So go over there, FightfulSelect.com. Denise?
Yes?
This shit is fun. I like watching WWE Raw again.
I'm happy because now I'm in the B-plus show of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, you
we
are.
We talked about this last week.
We did.
I'm hoping to get my way back up there. You know, I got to climb the ranks. I got to hustle. Hopefully we get there.
Man. Well, guys, leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. We got lots of good stuff coming your way. I've got an hour-long interview with Trevor Murdoch, NWA World Champion. It was a blast. I did about an hour with the former Slapjack as well, Shane Haste. That was a really, really fun interview. We went really in-depth on the Retribution stuff, New Japan, TMDK. Got more stuff with Damian Priest this week. But leave a thumbs up. And if you want your question or statement read on the air, because I see a lot of you asking questions, donate a super chat here on YouTube.com/Fightful. You can also go to humperchats.com and leave a question or statement before we go on the air. During a reminder, we have a ton of shows every week. We have post shows for NXT, AEW, Impact, SmackDown, AEW Rampage. And then we've got even more. We've got the Spotlight and Day After Dynamite with Will Washington on Thursdays as well. We've got Grapsity, a new show on Saturday. And then we've got Listing Your Boy every Wednesday. That's in addition to Fightful Select podcasts that I'll be telling you guys about later on. But, oh, crap. Let's go ahead and get into it. Simon says, wonder what we'll learn about this week, Denise.
Oh, no. Nothing new this week, man. This week's already been too chaotic for me.
Oh, man. I'm just over the moon that Raw doesn't suck anymore. Jambeard says, go ahead.
At least there's things to talk about. I was thinking about this today. So when we were watching Bobby Lashley today, I started thinking there was a Raw, and I forget, maybe like 2 weeks in a row, where the most interesting thing we had to talk about was, I forgot who, and Sean, I'm sure you remember, who was calling Bobby Lashley Bob and Roberto, and I don't know why, but that was like a huge topic for the week, and that was like the biggest that it got, where we were talking about different ways to say Bobby Lashley's name, because somebody said something, and I can't remember what it was, but it ended up driving like this whole conversation, and that was literally our peak for what we had to talk about during this period.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember that.
Exactly.
At all.
Isn't that really sad?
Yeah, I don't have any idea. Jam Beard says, why does sub host hate Will Washington so much? Couldn't say a nice thing about him and rode his coattails on Quizlemania.
I did say something nice about Will Washington. I said a bunch of nice things about him.
What'd you say?
I said he was a good friend.
Okay.
That's nice.
Am I a good friend?
Huh? Is that not a nice thing to say about someone?
Am I a good friend, Denise?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd put you up there. I'd have you in my top 30 on MySpace if we still ranked friends.
That's like when you do the HTML on there that like completely messes up MySpace. Like you weren't supposed to have that many, but you hacked the system and there you are. Jambeard says, Monday Night NXT, I'm here for it. And Lord of the Bucket says, it's weird to feel excited about watching Raw on Mondays again. I do. I wake up and I'm not like dreading these 3 hours and then super dreading the hour that I have to spend with Denise after Raw. But now I'm stoked. I'm pumped to cover WWE Raw. It's just so different than what it was just a month ago.
I thought the shows are increasingly getting better and better each week. I think it's been like, what, now a month with Triple H running things? Has it been a month now? I feel like, yeah, this is because I think I missed the second. It's probably been a little bit more than that. Whatever. So there's one episode that I missed, but I remember the last three consecutive Raws. I remember the first one where you were kind of like, all like over the moon about it. And I was kind of like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. Then the second week they started to sprinkle in a little bit more. And then the third week they started to sprinkle in a little bit more. So that's been very promising to kind of see just little things here and there. And I know a lot of, you know, it depends on what you were expecting. There were probably some people that were expecting massive changes instantly, but it's clear that they've been, you know, sprinkled around here and there.
Somebody says, or Line Drive says, USA must be loving NXT. It moved to Monday and got another hour. Very clever. Very clever. Zachary says, hey, Denise, my uncle gave me this Mexican candy called Bubbaloo. Do you recommend?
I don't know that one. Actually, let me search it up. I don't know Bubbaloo.
We'll talk about Bubbaloo here in a moment. Nicholas says, was it the Drew?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I do know this one, actually. Sorry. It's because I didn't know the name of it, but I've had this one. It's okay. It's pretty good. That's okay.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We greatly appreciate it. Nicholas says, was it the Drew and Big E segment with the Bob thing? Yes, it was. I do remember that now.
Okay, thank you. I couldn't remember. I just remember somebody was calling him Bob. Bubbaloo Lashley.
Oh, man. Well, WWE Raw kicked off, as reported by FightfulSelect.com. Rollins and Riddle brawling. I love this. It feels spontaneous. It's not just people walking out and going, here I am to talk for quite a bit, which did happen after this. But what we started with were two guys that have proven over the last several months and even years prior, if you've listened to interviews, that they didn't really like each other. And they've been trying to fight each other. And they've been trying to make this happen for quite a while. And it's going to happen. Clash at the Castle. But you still can't keep them apart. And I love that. I constantly go back to the interview that I had with Eric Bischoff where he said that Raw felt so polished that nothing felt spontaneous. This felt spontaneous. We started with the intro on the ramp. There were fireworks. The fireworks stop and the cameraman darts backstage. This is so much better than a cut or a zoom. We can see the cameraman running to get a hold of this and then they follow it all throughout the arena. This was just a blast to watch. I love this opening segment.
You know, I like that they did this. I thought it was like a simple way to kind of continue and further this feud along. I remember when this was taken off the last pay-per-view, this match, and it was one of the SummerSlam. Everybody wanted to watch it. It was one of the top matches that everyone wanted to see. And the way that it was taken off, it was kind of one of those things where you're like, oh man, they clearly saw they had nothing for Clash at the Castle. They had to bump this match there. And I remember kind of being like a little annoyed at that because I thought, well, that's kind of lame. And I kind of lost a little bit of interest, right? Thinking like, oh, they just bumped it because they didn't have anything else. They wanted something big for the show. And the following weeks, though, I feel like they've done a good job of kind of just making it. And even at the pay-per-view when they had like Seth Rollins running in and he had like all the securities chasing him afterwards, from that moment to right now leading up into this opening brawl, I feel like they've done a pretty good job at just keeping it I don't want to say like light, but it kind of not feeling like it's being shoved down our throats, where it does feel like it's a little bit more spontaneous, like you said. So I do appreciate that. And I like the way that they've done this, where it's like, okay, every time they see each other, what do they want to do? They want to get their hands on each other. So it's simple and I like it.
I've long said the Peter Griffin versus the chicken storyline works. In Family Guy, Peter Griffin and the chicken, it's on site all the time. And it doesn't matter where it is. It does not matter who they're with, where they're at, what the circumstances are, they're fighting. And I think that even more so than this could really, really expand and carry it over into matches. We saw it a little bit with Punk and Moxley last week, but I'm talking like a solid month, month and a half of just where you cannot keep these two away from each other.
And that's a good thing, too, is that whenever it does happen, well, when it does happen at the pay-per-view, you know that Seth Rollins tends to do these, like, very, like, you know what to expect from Seth Rollins' matches. What, Denise is Sean or Lurker?
Luke. Your BFF? Luker. Luker.
Oh, I thought he was trying to say, like, Lurker, like a lurker online.
Yeah, I was like,
is Sean or Luke your BFF? Luke hasn't talked to me in a long time. You know, I feel like he's left me, like, high and dry. He just like fired me right before my wedding and then just decided to like not talk to me anymore.
Damn.
Porch I'm crawler. Just kidding. I love Luke. I don't want anyone to think he's mean because he's not. He's like polar opposite
he's
of me.
He's the nicest guy.
Yeah, he's the like, nicest person ever.
He's like the best guy. He's wonderful.
I would say Luke's probably the better friend because Sean, you're mean to me. So there.
That's bullshit.
So to answer the question, there you go.
Torchcrawler says, I saw at least two instances of babyface not being complete idiots, and I'm loving it. Me too. You want a street smart babyface. That's something I learned watching a Legion of Doom interview, actually. Road Warrior Animal is like, we don't look like the smartest guy, but to get people to cheer for us, it's important that we're street smart. It's important that we don't look stupid because nobody wants to cheer for somebody that's stupid.
Right.
Meet Normus says, hi, SRS and Mrs. Step Host. Remember when WWE's go home shows were men? It truly is a new day. Yes, it is. I mean, this isn't even the go home show. Next week is the go home show.
No, it's next week, right? I was confused too for a second. I was like, wait, what? But no, we still got one more week this month.
Oh, yeah. We are truly back in the era of when WWE Raw were men. We're back there. We've got the skullet going. I love it. I'm ready. I'm ready, and I'm excited to cover all this stuff. Then we get Trish Stratus coming out, and it was announced that she would be on Raw, and I just... she didn't miss a beat at all tonight. Like, she was up to date with the current storylines, did not feel out of place, like she was fed the line. And maybe she was fed the line, Denise, but you couldn't tell if so. I thought that Trish was great here, and she looks awesome per usual.
Dude, I'm going to sound like a creep, like a pervert. I don't care. She looks so damn good. Like, I don't want to sound like a creep. But when Trish Stratus took off her jacket, I was like, damn, she looks amazing. And then it was funny because right afterwards, Bayley takes off her jacket. So I kind of liked that like little play where they were like, well, you're taking off your jacket. I'm going to take off my jacket. So that was pretty damn hilarious, actually. It was the little thing. And you know, that's the thing about Bayley is that she's really good in these like comedic senses. Like, she finds little ways to be funny, and it's not that big of a deal to take off your jacket, but the way that she did it, it was pretty damn hilarious, actually. But I really love this. I thought that Trish looked great. She came out, everything she said was, you know, perfectly fine. And I like the way that they did the whole like the interruptions where she was about to say something, she gets interrupted, they come into the ring, she's about to say something again, and they again interrupt her. So it kind of kept the fans going like, okay, when is Trish Stratus going to say what she's going
to
say?
She was actively trying to unretire multiple times throughout this interview. She implied it. And Jambeard said, respectfully, Trish Stratus, by the way, just the most wonderful, nice person too. If you have ever met her, she's great. I got to interview her in Toronto in front of that great skyline on Polson Pier, and she couldn't have been nicer. But she said, you know, this has got me thinking. And then Bayley came out. And she's like, oh, you know what? We got the 3-on-1 advantage. But then Trish brings out Bianca, Alexa, and Asuka. And I loved Trish saying, I can go from I am retired to I was retired real quick. And I love that because why not? I would completely buy it. She looks like she could still go in the ring. She was working as of, what, 3 years ago? She's, let's see, she's 46 years old, which is...
doesn't look like it, that's for sure.
Which, I mean, even beyond that, it's like 46 years old in wrestling in 2022. Oh, and hey, by the way, she retired 16 years ago, so she doesn't have all those miles on her body. She was an active performer for like 5 or 6 years. So,
doesn't
I mean,
she do yoga too or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure, okay, she does a lot of shit. I'm sure she does all kinds of stuff. But I listen, I know that she got like a really nice send off in Toronto. I was there in 2019. I'm selfish. I want to see her do more. I want to see her do more. I love
There's
it. Especially,
no harm in her doing more either, especially right now. How can you not with all of like the women that they have right now and all of the little things that you want to see, you know, some of the women from the past mix in with some of the women of the future, like even just this interactions with her and Bianca Belair. I really like that because Bianca, she was kind of like that friend everybody wants to have. She was like, nope. This is her ring. Yeah. You're running because Trish Stratus walked, you know, all of the things that she was throwing in there. So I really liked the little combo of Bianca and Trish Stratus. And then when she called out Asuka and Alexa Bliss, I was like, okay, this is good. I'm really liking where this was going. And I especially love how mean Bayley, Dakota, and Io are because it works. It works so good. And they've just added so much ever since they, you know, became a thing. And I liked this balance of what we were seeing here between like the women that you really want to cheer for and the women that are just like, damn it, they're so like, but they're good in a good way.
Oh man. Bianca is out there, by the way. We were asked, is she injured? She hasn't wrestled in 3 weeks, but I'm Torch. I haven't heard of any injury. And Nerd Drew says, would be quite the sell for Sasha to have a Trish match. Yeah, I mean, that's one that you got to do. I would love to see, like, Trish and Lita team up and compete for the tag titles. I would love to see, like, Sasha and Naomi have a bit of an open challenge type of thing. I want the Bellas to come in. I want Divas of Doom. Add some juice to this women's tag team division. Like, bring in some of these names.
Well, they could do Trish and Bianca.
They could do a lot of stuff.
I kind
of
felt like they were teasing that a little bit there. Are they not? Yeah. It's got to be, right?
Maybe.
I kind of felt that was what it was, but maybe I'm wrong here, but maybe I got overexcited here, but I kind of felt like that was where they were somewhat teasing or alluding to.
Yeah. Well, we get the match after this, the women's tag team tournament match. Nicholas says, I like Dakota and Io versus Asuka and Alexa, but the end of the match felt sloppy. Don't like Dakota's moves are to her opponent's head, face. Well, it's wrestling. You're going to have that. But I agree. Like throughout the body of the match, I was liking it. I especially like that Io Sky dropkick to Asuka where she sent her halfway across the ring. The matchup between Asuka and Io, you could tell they purposely had avoided each other until this moment, and they got it in the ring. What'd you think about this?
I actually got to say that the standout for me really was Dakota and Asuka. Anytime they were in the ring together, I really liked their intensity with one another. That moment where first it was Dakota kicking Asuka's head like she was literally a soccer ball. And then afterwards, Asuka returns the favor and then does the same thing to her. And then there's a little bit more of these interactions between them throughout the match. And for me, they were the standouts in this. Like, they were the ones that I kind of felt myself like gravitates towards a little bit.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Bit more. So I feel that Dakota was actually the one that, I mean, aside from her interactions with Asuka, I do feel like she was the one that I kind of kept my eye on a little bit more. It seems like she just came in there and was a little bit more hard hitting. She just stood out a little bit more to me during this. And then obviously this moment where we got Asuka and Io, that was obviously pretty cool too. I think like instantly you were just like, oh shit, like let's pay attention because, you know, these two women are interacting. So that was pretty cool too. But the finish was fine. It was predictable in terms of the team that was going to win, but I think regardless, it was still a fun little matchup there.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just glad that this tag team division and this tag team tournament is being given time. And ultimately women's wrestling got like the first, well, besides Riddle and Rollins, like the first half hour of this program.
But, and with a good lead in too.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of good stuff there. I'm just glad there's juice being given to this. There was also a little bit given to Balor and Ziggler. Now, there wasn't a ton of, like, there wasn't really any build for this match, so they built it backstage. But very little of it made sense. So Finn Balor is being portrayed as a guy who does not respect the veterans backstage. So Finn Balor's 41. Finn Balor first came up to Raw at, like, 6 years ago, over 6 years ago. He's wrestled for 21 years. And he's saying stuff like, oh, well, you attached yourself to Theory because that's what you do. You attach yourself to younger, up-and-coming talent. Bobby Roode is 46 years old, Denise.
Do you think 46? They did that on purpose or was it an accidental thing?
I don't know. Well, now I want Bobby Roode to show up in like joggers and like I want him dressing like a 21-year-old. Like he's
get the cool shoes, get the sweatpants, get the colorful shirt, get a little fanny pack, put some sunglasses on.
And Ziggler goes, dude, we're the same age.
Yeah, I like that. That was funny.
I'm glad that he said that because like they are. Like, why? What is the deal here? Like, why are they pretending like Finn Balor is some like
young buck? We got a little bitch line from Dolph Ziggler.
That was good. I like that.
Are they allowed to say little bitch?
Yeah, they are now. He knocked him down. And he's like, hey, you got to come out to the ring. You got to be a little bitch.
Well, that's true because they always do the bitch line, but it's not very often we get the little bitch.
I love that. I call Disco Inferno a little bitch all the time because he's a little bitch. But like, it's a good line. It's a good one to throw at somebody. And I'm glad that he did it. But this match was good. They're just going out there and having good matches. And they built this match over a couple minutes. Now, was it like a great build? No, I would say it was a pretty dumb build. But I like, you know what?
It
worked.
It worked. It gives us something to talk about, something to laugh about, something that was either stupid on accident or stupid on purpose. I don't know, but it ended up working. I will say that I was definitely interested in this match. And I didn't really think if you would have just told me like ahead of time, hey, we're going to get this match, I'd be like, okay, whatever, you know. But I ended up being a lot more interested in this match as it was happening. And that like dumb little build that they did actually worked for me because I thought it was funny. It was like, you little bitch.
I like
that. That was awesome. But what I did like about too is that we're seeing the continuation there of Rhea Ripley getting involved in these matches and kind of like, you know, we've seen everything that she's been doing with Dominic Mysterio. We saw her essentially like sucker punching Dolph Ziggler during this match, and then you know, later on she does her thing at the end of the night. So I kind of like how we were just kind of planting the seeds, but they were keeping that consistency going with Rhea Ripley there. I liked the ending. I thought it was a solid little match and people were definitely interested in it.
This was a good match. It had a little bit of a build. Finn Balor ended up winning because Rhea Ripley got involved. I like seeing guys that are a little bit smaller, like Balor, do moves like the powerbomb, because why not if they can do it? Like, why not do that? I mean, I grew up on the cruiserweights and seeing Eddie Guerrero powerbombing the living shit out of people. So I love that. We also saw a promo backstage where they make light of Dominic getting his ass whipped by Rhea all the time. But this promo was not good. It had Finn Balor showing off his custom jacket and saying that Rey Mysterio is 6'1 mine. What the hell?
I don't
hell?
Get it. What do you mean 6'1 mine? Mind or mine?
Mine. M-I-N-E. I don't get
mine.
It.
6'1. Oh, that makes sense. He's 6'1 mine, basically saying, like, I'm going to have his number. He's mine. I'm going to kick his ass.
That's I know. What it meant, it's, right? It's lame.
I mean, it was lame, but that's what it meant, right? 6'1 mine. God. Okay, that's super lame. Yeah, 6'1 mine.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
Maybe they thought it was a good line. Like a play on words.
Jambeard says, why didn't they just have Mandy replace Gigi and she teams with JC Jane? Even if they lost, it would have made sense. This was surprising to me, Denise, that Toxic Attraction was pulled and like just add Mandy Rose to it and then have JC take the pin.
I mean, they could have done that unless, I don't know what they were, why they didn't want to do that. Why wouldn't they want to do it to make it easier than having to do this whole second chance tournament for a lot of the teams that, like, I don't know what the interest is like for these second round teams, for these teams that are getting the second chance. Like, I was looking at this and I'm thinking really only Doudrop and Nikki, to me, are the team that I would say, like, oh, put them in the tournament again. But it kind of feels pointless to me. It kind of feels pointless to me because I don't really think, I mean, obviously they can do whatever they want, but I just don't really feel like they're going, like, it doesn't matter because they're not going to win. Whoever gets the second chance isn't going to win.
Yeah.
Right. So it kind of feels pointless. I feel bad saying that, but it does.
So also Asuka and Alexa are not in this match. So it's only the people who lost in the first round. So the team that won tonight, or that won the first round and made it to the second round, they don't get the second opportunity. They are actively punished for winning a match in the first round.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I think they should have just put in Mandy Rose or something, or I don't know. That would have probably been the easiest for sure.
Joel says, imagine the tag division getting time, something we haven't seen in years. If that happens, it's a wrap. I don't know what it's a wrap on, but I want to see it. I want to see everything made as important as possible. I want to see things happen that matter as much as humanly possible. And they've done that with the IC title and the US title, and they're doing that with the women's tag.
They're starting to do that. It's going to take a while because they did a lot of damage to both of those belts. So they're starting to, like, you know, fix their errors, change their ways and all of that. But it is going to take a while, though.
And I want to see them do that with the men's tag team titles too, because that hasn't been promising so far. And yeah. Luis says both are young lions compared to Bobby Fish. That's very clever. That's very clever. Dan Beard says Judgment Day promo felt like they were high school bullies in a Disney Channel TV show.
Oh my
6-1
God.
6-1 mine is terrible. It is terrible.
I kid you not. Sometimes I come up with some dumb jokes and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should tweet this because you never know. People are going to get mad, right? So that screenshot of the Judgment Day at the end with they're all kind of like looking at the camera, I was going to caption it, the homies when they try to peer pressure you. But then I was like, I don't know if people are going to get like, you know, people are like, you know, they always try to find something wrong. So I didn't know. But now that someone else thought it too, now I regret not posting my tweet. Because
it does.
Like, you've ever been peer pressured to do anything, Sean? I have.
Me? No.
You've never been peer pressured.
Denise, I get peer pressured every day on Twitter.
I'm talking as a young, impressionable teenager. I'm talking exactly. Did you rise above the peer pressure or did you do what they wanted
hell no.
you to do?
I did what they wanted to do.
You did, Sean? How could you? I rose above it. I didn't do anything that they wanted me to do.
Sorry.
I was going to tweet that. I might still tweet it.
Man. Jambeard says,
funny.
Jambeard says, I thought Balor was saying to Ziggler for clinging on to your younger talent, which is what Balor was doing with Priest and Rhea. Well, Priest ain't younger. Priest is like 39. And yes. I love him. He doesn't wrestle. I mean, yeah, he's 39 years old. He'll be 40 this year. But I mean, he wrestles like he's 30. He's very active and, you know, very sprightly, so to speak. So, like, as far as WWE years, yeah, absolutely. But I did think that was a little bit funny too. Ryan says, don't know if you all caught the Bray Wyatt Easter egg by Dolph when he said Theory's got the whole world in his hands. I doubt it's a coincidence. I caught that. I don't know. I haven't been told anything specifically about that outside of when I was told that they believe that they have a better chance of getting Bray Wyatt back now than they did.
Maybe before. He's just a big Con Air fan.
Nobody's a big Con Air fan.
I like that movie.
That movie sucks.
You didn't like Con Air?
No, I didn't.
What's wrong with you? That movie is good.
Tremaine says Denise's makeup is on point, but her internet is not. Yeah, your connection sucks.
Oh, it's my connection. You should have told me something. I didn't know. Hold on.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, that explains it.
What? What happened?
You should have told me something. I had no idea my internet wasn't working that great.
Well, I'll tell you something. NordVPN.com/Fightful works no matter what your internet connection. NordVPN. Denise, quit interrupting my ad read. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Hey, this gimmick image is outdated. You get 4 months free now. You can change your virtual location with just one click. That's how I watched UFC this past weekend. At a much more reduced rate, I was able to subscribe to an overseas service, get it for much more affordably than I would in the States. So this effectively pays for your NordVPN for you for months and months and months because you're saving all kinds of money. You can get AEW Plus, you can get WWE Network in Canada. You can get that online threat protection, all that good stuff with NordVPN.com/Fightful, and it works on all your devices. You can change your virtual location to, I don't know, New Zealand, Lithuania, anything like that with NordVPN.com/Fightful. I use this every single day. Was able to use this to get around the terrible internet that my PSN ended up having, or my PlayStation 5 ended up having, and up my speeds a little bit there when they didn't think I was on that NAT 2, so to speak. Denise, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. How do I look now? Can you see me better?
Like shit.
Does my internet work is what I'm asking? Because it's working well on my end.
Sorry, I can't hear you. You're cutting out. You're cutting out badly.
Ugh.
I'm joking. You're not.
I knew I wasn't because there was no way. I literally just tested to the internet right now and it said very fast. And you're not buffering for me at all. So am I a clear image now?
Yes. Jambeard says, Denise, Sean's the one that does the pressuring. True. Jambeard says, Nick Cage and Con Air remind Sean too much of Kentucky. I live in Kentucky, my friend. But no, that accent is nothing like Kentucky. That is just horrible.
Whose accent's horrible? Who are you talking about?
Nick Cage's and Con Air. What are you talking?
Oh, Nicolas Cage? I like his accent. He's like, I liked Nicolas Cage's accent in the movie. Was his character supposed to be from Kentucky? I don't remember. Sean.
Denise, stop
it. I'm sorry.
Line Drive says Con Air's like one of three regular rotation Nick Cage movies between National Treasure, Gone in 60 Seconds. Con Air rules. I like 8mm a lot more. Well, we got a lot of people speculating Bray Wyatt. Cameron says, did you see the tweet Bray liked on his Twitter? His cryptic messages made the letters WWE. And KE775 says, any ideas on who he's looking to bring back next? Well, I would imagine Bray would be a big one that he would try to bring back, Denise. I can tell you some internal scheduling things have changed a little bit lately. So I don't know if we're going to be getting a roster refresh as soon as even talent thought. So I would imagine a pretty steady stream of talent returning to the company because I'm pretty sure Triple H got there and was like, damn, we got some depth issues here.
Well, I think it's pretty clear given that we've gotten so many people back already and it's just been a short amount of time. And it seems like Triple H is moving fast. And obviously when we talk about, you know, who later on, we'll talk more about that.
Oh, man. Orion Benz says back-to-back segments with Ciampa, Loomis, Theory, and Gargano. Dakota and Io were involved and carried segments. Gable and Owens had the house burning down. Black and gold, full revenge on display. Vince can stay mad now. So much talent getting shine.
That is true.
How do you think Vince feels?
Do you think he's watching? Or do you think, because I don't know what his approach is. He's either watching and like critiquing and being like super hard on the show, or he's like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to talk about it because, you know, I don't know. I'm retired. I don't know what his mentality is during this. You know, it's like, do you like mourn over it? Do you just like obsess over it? I don't know what he's doing.
What approach do you think he's taken? I think he's probably working out. He's probably watching the show, but it's very clear he has zero input. Zero input.
I think he's still watching, like he's watching it. Cause I feel like you would be like sad. Like I wouldn't want to watch it if I wasn't like there anymore.
I think that he's probably still watching it. I do.
Okay.
We have the Gable Open Challenge. He cut what I thought this was not a good promo. I think he thought it was going to get like super, super heat, but it was just.
Wait, you didn't like Chad Gable's promo?
No, I didn't like it.
Why? I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. He's accepting new students. He buries Canada. I thought it was hilarious.
I didn't People like it.
People were pissed.
At all.
They were reacting. They were mad. They booed.
I didn't think that the reaction was that good, all things considered. I mean, this wasn't like Elias and Owens in Seattle that we're talking about here. Like it was okay. I thought that it was designed to get this mega heat, but it wasn't there. But Owens answering the challenge got some mega reaction. Like that got an incredible reaction.
I thought it got some good reaction, especially when he said that their team, the Maple Leafs, had lost to Tampa Bay. And then he said, I'm going to educate you. There's no ice in Tampa Bay. That got some pretty good reactions.
Yeah, but
I liked this promo, Sean.
I didn't like it at all. I just thought it was an awful lot of cheap heat. And it just wasn't for me.
That's what it was supposed to be, though.
I know. And I didn't like it.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was good.
Well, Kevin Owens answered the challenge. Toronto liked Kevin Owens an awful lot, Denise.
You think?
Yeah. Anything else you want to add to that, Denise?
Well, I thought you were going to continue on. You buried the Gable promo, so I'm thinking, okay, what's else? I mean,
I said I didn't like it. I said I didn't like it. That's burying
it. You literally said it was cheap. It was cheap. It wasn't good. It was boring. The crowd didn't like it.
I didn't say it was boring. You
pretty
much
said all of that, Sean.
No, I said I didn't like it. It was.
You didn't like it because it was boring. Just say it.
Or I just didn't like it because I didn't like the content of it. It just wasn't good for me. Okay. I've heard him cut this same promo 100 times already. But
and you liked it all those other 100 times.
Yeah, and then this shit got old, Denise.
I'm just saying, this is the first time you've never liked a Chad Gable promo, and I don't understand why, because I actually think it was like there's been other ones where I thought they weren't that great, and even you liked them. And I thought this one was fine.
I don't like the same shit over and over again.
Seems like you do. Just saying.
What the fuck are you talking about, Denise?
I'm just saying. Okay, fine. You didn't like the promo. Just admit it. Like, say like you thought it was boring.
I didn't say it was boring. I said I didn't like it.
Okay, fine. You didn't like it because it was
I can like
lame.
It. Okay. Yes. Yes.
All right. So you didn't like
anyway,
it because it was lame.
Anyway. Kevin Owens came out. He got a great reaction. They had a good match. Owens ended up winning. Otis attacks him afterwards, but that doesn't really matter because Owens beat both of their asses and left him laying. I'm liking this very clearly. Triple H has a vision for Kevin Owens that is categorically different than what Vince McMahon had.
Alrighty, well, my thoughts on this, my favorite part of all of this was when Kevin Owens basically said, give me that cauliflower ear, buddy. That was hilarious. I thought that was good. This match was fine. It was enjoyable. They, you know, had some good spots in it, especially all leading towards the finish. It was exciting. It was good. Otis, there was a moment where, oh, Yeah, there was a moment for commentary where they said that Otis told them something about, was he talking about Gable's hips or was he talking about his own hips? Because he said something about how his hips are like Shakira's, but I missed if he said that Otis's hips were like Shakira's or Gable's hips were like Shakira's.
They talked an awful lot about Shakira. They had a little.
It felt out of the blue. Like, why were they just like, it didn't make any sense because it wasn't even like any of them were like shaking their hips or doing something hip related where they would bring up hips and Shakira. It was kind of weird. Nobody else thought that. It was just, it was so out of left field.
I didn't give it that much thought, but it was Gable's.
I rewinded to, because I heard like the part like where they said it. I'm like, wait, what? And I rewinded it to see if I missed something, and I didn't miss anything.
Nicholas says, Sammy Chant started when Kevin got attacked after. Guys, if you all did not watch SmackDown, watch that five-way match and watch the Sammy reaction. That was special. And we had Reigns leaning on Sammy a lot more on SmackDown and saying, hey, Let Owens know I don't owe anybody anything. It seems an awful lot like we're headed towards maybe a Sammy KO reunion, and that's something that I think the tag team division needs. And I think if there's a team that could, should, and would be appropriate to unseat the Usos, it'd be KO and Sami Zayn. Like, they've never been tag team champions before. They are a great entertaining team. They are a tried and true formula. We know that they're going to work. That's who I want to see take the tag titles.
I'd be on board.
Yeah. Jam Beard says Gable should have buried Drake. That would have been funny. That would have been funnier, at least. Jam Beard says this was NXT KO. Music, Tron, shirt, everything. Denise, your connection has gotten crappy again. No, it hasn't. Her connection is good. The thing that I hate most is when one person in the chat is like, I can't hear you guys. I don't know, turn your volume on, maybe. Unmute it. Plug up your speakers. And everybody else is like, I'm good. Every time, at least once a week, somebody pulls that.
Well, I just wish you would have told me ahead of time that my internet was crap because I had no idea.
How was I supposed to know?
You're watching. You're like on the show. You should have been like, hey, Denise, fix your internet.
Nah, I don't care that much.
I care.
Ted Gruber asks when Subway is sponsoring this show. They're not, but you know what? You know who is? FightfulSelect.com and Fightful on TikTok. Follow us at Fightful.com on TikTok. We have some funny little things. We got clips from shows, clips from interviews, news reports. Give us a follow on TikTok and FightfulSelect.com. We had all kinds of news today. We had Trevor Murdoch early access notes. We had news on Johnny Gargano coming back to WWE. We had news on the WWE Raw plans, the Dexter Lumis story that was happening. We had the Backstage Report podcast. Right now is the Alex Palowski Sour Graps post-show review with Kate Hensler. It's so much more than just exclusive news. And now anniversary billing is in effect. If any of you were hesitant to subscribe because you're afraid you'd get billed again on the first, that is now out the window. We have anniversary billing in effect. So you'll get billed again the 22nd of next month. So FightfulSelect.com, only $5. It is the most affordable exclusive wrestling news service that has ever existed. It is literally more inexpensive than wrestling news services were in like 1989, for the love of God.
You're cheaper than gas.
No, we're not. I mean, not cheaper than
here.
A gallon.
Yes, here.
Here,
yes. It's like $5-something, almost $6. So it actually went down a little bit too. So that's good.
It was funny how the car rental place was like, oh, do you want to fill up here? It's cheaper. And it was like 80 cents more. And I was like, shut, go to hell. Go to hell. Pissing me off.
Did you fill up in San Pedro?
No, I filled up next to
near LAX. Your homies in San Pedro fill you up with your gas tank?
JoJo says, Shakira's taxes lie, though. Three eye emojis.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm not going to.
I love Shakira.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge on that. It's got to be real hard as a celebrity to make sure all that stuff is in check because of all the traveling that you do in general. But Cyclops says, why is Subhost so obsessed with hips tonight? Denise is just a noted perv. So
cool. I'm cool with that.
L.M. Arthur Steele says, homegirl Denise looking extra fly tonight. Yes, indeed. And he also says, SRS, cheers to our birthdays coming up next Tuesday. Great work as always, my dude. I'll actually,
Sean, I haven't gotten you a gift yet.
I'm shocked.
I hope it makes it on time. I'm going to do it tomorrow for sure. It's been on my list. It's been on my calendar. I just wrote SRS gift for like the last 3 weeks. It just says SRS gift, but I haven't actually done it. Oh, come on.
I'll actually be on the air with you as my birthday hits next week.
Oh, really?
Tremaine says, Vince is enjoying meat, cheese, and rice, and a sour cream wrapped in tortilla. I doubt it. That sounds like a smackadilla. I had one of those when we did media at WrestleMania, Denise. It sucked so bad. Smackadillas
were bad.
You were
eating everything that day, Sean.
That was so bad.
Did I tell you about that? Did I make fun of you for that?
I'm eating leather.
No, that was the other one.
What was I eating?
No, because when did you have the smackadilla?
It
was WrestleMania, wasn't it?
It was Dallas, yeah. It was Dallas, because if you remember, I tried to get that Monster Energy DoorDash, and they brought me a hot Monster Energy.
That's why I was laughing at you.
I paid $11 for it.
Because you DoorDashed a Monster Energy drink, and it came hot. And then I told you, hey, Sean, go get a cup and some ice, and you were like, I'm not going to do that. And then I saw you eat something. You left, and I saw you coming back munching, and then you left again.
Yeah.
No, you had something else prior to that. It was like a bread or a muffin that they had in that catering thing.
Oh, it was so dry. Yeah.
And then you came back, and you were eating again, and I was like, damn, Sean.
So I got up. I was... I went out on the town the night before that. I'll say that. I was
you
out
painted the town red. Sean.
I was out pretty late the night before, and I did not have time to get up and have breakfast. So I was like, oh man, I don't have time to go get an energy drink or anything. So I DoorDashed a Monster Energy, and they brought it to me hot because we're there like 4 or 5 hours. And I remember right after that, you had to go like to GCW.
No, ROH.
ROH. That's what it was. So I was like, damn, I got to get something to eat. So I had one of those terrible muffins. I took one bite.
To go downstairs. They had a cafe, Sean.
No, the line was out the door and wrapped around to the stairs. So I would have missed like a bunch of interviews. I would have missed the great Bron Breakker interview that I did. Right?
Or mine's still unseen. I've never posted it.
Or the minute 45 that I got with AJ. We should listen, Denise, if we get 10,000.
I'm not posting it, Sean. 10,000.
That'll get your raise.
Well, didn't you post it and weren't people criticizing you?
Yes, people were like,
see?
People were like, oh, he very clearly doesn't like Sean. And I'm like, guys, I've done 3 interviews with me. He walked up to me and he said, brother, we got to make sure we get one in. And I said,
I would be too embarrassed.
And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Okay, you want to know something really sad? By the way, am I still pixelated?
Yeah, of course you're pixelated. Wow.
All right, I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. Should I exit and come back again?
You should reset your router, Denise, is what you should do.
I don't know how to do that.
What? Denise, what?
It's because, like, I don't do that. It's too much work.
God. Orlando says, did you guys see the video from TMZ of Jake Atlas's arrest? That was not good. Indeed, it was not. And I don't really have a lot of other things to say about that. It's a very unfortunate situation, obviously. Yeah, your internet's back, but yeah, that's not a good look at all. I mean, domestic abuse isn't a good look at all either. Joel Wood says, KO failed to dethrone Reigns last year. The next best thing is dethroning the Usos. Revenge coming full circle. And that would be referenced if they did a promo, if they did a feud. And that's what I appreciate about this regime. Jambeard says, did you see on Twitter today, Sammy wished Jimmy a happy birthday, but said nothing to Jay. I did see that. That was such a great touch.
Savage.
I love it. I love it so much.
By the way, I didn't get to finish what I was saying about the Bron Breakker interview really quickly.
Go ahead. So, yeah.
It's really embarrassing because I was like, hey guys, we're here with NXT champion Bron Breakker, right? Pumped and shit. And then he's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I just deflated like really fast.
You are at least one of 2 or 3 people that were there that didn't run their interviews. And listen, I will say this. if you guys get us to 10,000 subscribers, I will do my best to convince Denise. I will try to make it worth her while. And get this, I'll try to get it from the other person too. I'll try to do like a double feature. Now, listen.
I don't even know if I still have it. Hold on.
How are you going to delete that, Denise?
I don't know if I have it. Oh, I think I have it in another computer.
Everybody, you keep everything. Keep everything.
I know where it's at. Hold on.
Anyway, Joel Wood says, I meant it's a wrap as in it seems to be the last division that needs fixing. They're already improving the mid-card and women's division. I meant that as it's a good thing. Joel, I get that. I thought you meant like a wrap for Impact and AEW. They're dead. But the tag team division, the men's tag team division, still needs a lot. Still needs an awful lot. But we'll see how that all hashes out. There's still work to be done. Aaliyah's doing an interview backstage, and Bayley and her buddy show up and intimidate her. Trish Stratus runs to her aid, and then Bayley is like, you know what? I'll face you. I'll return to the ring tonight. And she does, and Bayley wins. So I did like this. Like the hometown girl didn't win this time, but she got the ovation. She has no business beating Bayley to begin with. But Bayley's back in the ring. That felt big. I'm happy with how this all went because, I mean, this is pretty well where Aaliyah should be, I think.
Honestly, I'm going to be real. I'm just going to say it. This dragged on a little bit too long for me.
Sure.
I was quite frankly a little bit bored with this one. And I get what they were trying to do. But what it felt to me was just like an elongated squash.
Yeah, and that's what it was. And we got Nicholas Olsen saying Bayley using the Sasha knees in the corner on the middle rope. That was a nice touch as well. But I'm
getting you the interview, Sean. If I find it in time, I will have you play it tonight, but only the beginning because I haven't even seen it since I shot it. Okay, all I remember was my experience.
Well, mine was real
bad. I don't want everybody to bury me and be like, Denise is a shitty interviewer, okay? Interviewer.
Brighton says, what's the current select sub count? We are over 8,300. The beginning of the month, even though we have anniversary billing off, we're going to lose a bunch because that's just naturally when probably 95% of our people's renew at this point. So, yeah. But if we get to 10,000, that would be great. Joel said, so is Braun Breaker at least improving from one interview to the next, or is it still the same? No, he's not. And listen, I just want to say this. Personally, I like him. He's a very, very nice guy. It's just the interviews aren't hot. They're not hot.
And remember I was saying the thing about Austin Theory and how like he like really improved and it wasn't like he like you could just tell like the difference.
Yeah. And I'm sure that Braun will pick it up. But we got Lashley and Styles versus Miz and Ciampa. It ends in a no contest because
I found it, Sean. I'm sending
Denise,
it to you.
Denise, let me review this match.
Sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry.
So we have been seeing throughout the evening Adam Pearce with like a picture of Dexter Lumis in his hand, directing police, security, riot police, etc. And then we see somebody try to attack AJ, but it's just a fan. But then we see somebody stand up with riot police gear on and take it off. It's Dexter Lumis. And he kidnaps Miz while staring at the camera the entire time. This was so good. I didn't even mind the DQ, no contest, whatever finish that happened here. Because I was like, damn, this worked out really well. And it was spontaneous. I mean, we knew Dexter Lumis was going to get involved to some degree. I know you got your mind on other things and probably aren't even paying attention.
No, I'm listening to you.
Okay. What did you think of with Dexter Lumis popping up?
Dude, I will say this because Dexter Lumis in NXT, the last time we saw him, he wasn't at his hottest. He wasn't in the best like storyline. I think it was probably like a couple weeks before he got released. They did like this tag team. I forgot. I think it was a tag team match with Indy Hartwell, Duke Hudson, Dexter Lumis, and and Persia Parada as well. So it was all four of them, right? And I remember that the ending to that was so bad on NXT that people in the CWC were chanting, "This is stupid. this is stupid. So with that being said, the last couple of months for Dexter Lumis were utterly terrible. What is
Denise, you need to reset your goddamn router.
You need
to turn off your modem and turn it back on. Desperately, Denise. Holy cow, it is bad. It ain't getting any better until you do that. Abysmal. -5 stars is what I give Denise's internet connection. Let me find my cute little frame here. That's just me. Where do we got? What do we got in here? Surely we got something, right? Damn. I didn't even know we had this one. Look at this weird looking one. Oh, why would they put that little block there? It can't even see my head. What the hell's going on here? Well, there we go. We got this frame. Listen, this is what Denise looked like on her stream. They're in higher quality than Denise's actual graphics. Amazing. Oh, Jesus Christ. You'll love to see it. Jambeard says Denise streaming through an N64. And Terry Allen Jr. says, Aaliyah was crying while standing. Did you notice? Hey, it beats her throwing up, right? Mike Oxlong says, Denise using a 56K modem. Woof. Henry T. Casey says, if Lumis was in the Riot helmet, who was in the hoodie? Indy? No. Local Comp WWE is the account to follow for that stuff. It is Rajan Hoosier. He's on Instagram. And yeah, there we go. He was there. He's, a 19-year-old wrestler that they used as an extra. But they had brought in extras for that already. Cyclops says, stop using two Dixie cups and string as internet, Denise. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate it. Roast Denise and her internet. Leonza says, I remember people liking Index. Yeah, it's just they made it really, really stupid. Jambeard says, I'm seeing two Karrion Crosses. Yeah, that'd be Axe and Smash right there. Or maybe one with Smash and Crush at that point. I don't even know. But look, I had this graphic made for like gaming stuff, but it was just bad. They had that thing up there. Then they had like ones from WWE Raw down there. And one, like, I don't even know where the hell they got that one. That would have to be from Fire Pro, wouldn't it? Did they ever put Blue Blazer in a 2D wrestling game? That would have had to have been a created wrestler from Fire Pro. I have no idea where our graphics team got this from. Killing a little bit of time to get Denise back in the fold. But Kurt Angle is coming back next week. You love to see it. Utilizing these legends makes me very happy. But Johnny Gargano did come back. And we're going to hit you guys with some super chats, humper chats. Joe says, love the spontaneity of Gargano. Just faded in from commercial and bam, here's Johnny. Yes, Rebel Heart hit and I was like, wait a second. Is it? Could it be? It is. Joel Wood says, how much you want to bet Johnny still trends during AEW in Cleveland on Wednesday? That would be the rib, right? That Johnny doesn't trend after not being on TV in 9 months and trending all the time. Now, a lot of people are asking, did you know? Officially, no. I had a really good feeling he was heading back. I was scheduled to interview him like last week and it got moved. And I'm like, all right, Johnny. Now he had told me it was like something with a pediatrician or something. How am I going to doubt that? How am I going to finger wag the man for that? Now we posted an update on FightfulSelect.com and we greatly appreciate if you guys subscribed. But this was kept very secret. This was kept very private from people backstage. Wasn't on rundowns, anything like that. He had no interest in going to AEW or Impact Wrestling. I don't know the interest level between him and AEW. I don't know. Now, I'm sure that he's going to talk about this. I was told, I would get that interview no matter what happened. And that's the exact phrase that I was told. So then I was like, what do you mean no matter what happens? What do you mean whatever happens? So that had me a little bit suspicious, but had heard nothing about Toronto, had heard nothing about tonight. This was so very, very cool. And hey, you know what? I make my business off of spoilers, but this was very fun to see. And no, I'm not going to stop posting spoilers. Orlando says, Raw was good tonight. Great to see Johnny back. Give us Beth versus Rhea, please. Oh, I hope so. Cyclops says, happy to see John, but what's the news on Candace? Well, if, man, if you're AEW, you got to make a play for Candace still, right? Like, she is such an important part to have in that division. But if you're not that interested in building a division and adding some meat to it and adding some, like, smoke to your stories, then just don't even bother. Dick the Cock Johnson says, on vacation in Europe and randomly woke up at 4 a.m., so I decided to put on Raw, and it was just in time for Johnny. So happy. I was very happy too. I was supposed to host Johnny's StarCast panel, but scheduling conflicts kind of prevented that. But he's a good person, and you want more people like him in your locker room. You want people that are willing to help other people. You want people that are versatile performers, and he is that. He's a very entertaining performer, but he's good in the ring. He's got a lot of years left in him. Trey says, the twins pissed me off to the fullest. Then the Gargano music hit literally 2 minutes after the game. And boy, am I so happy right now. I love that people are willing to send super chats just because they're so happy about this. And we're going to talk about the meat of what happened. Hopefully when Denise comes back, assuming she ever comes back. I don't know at this point. I think we may have just lost her forever. Ryan says, shout out to Triple H for not allowing the Gargano surprise to leak. It was smart of him to debut in Toronto, where they actually know who he is. I think most WWE audiences at least know who he is. But, I mean, I get that. But also in front of a packed house in Toronto, too, at Scotiabank. They're going to the Coca-Cola Coliseum, by the way, which is where AEW is running. But they're going back there in December because that's going to be a smaller or a shorter show or a smaller show on a live event, I think. But Johnny coming back here, like you – I had been saying for like the last few months, like I thought he was probably going to WWE, because if he was going to AEW, why wouldn't he have already been there by now? Now, that being said, we have some more details on the sort of negotiation process and the free agent process that he went through on FightfulSelect.com. But when Vince falls out of power, like he's one of the guys that you look at and you go, well, this is objectively good for him, right? Like this is fantastic news for him. It is a great move for Triple H to be in control and going with one of his faves. And I saw somebody, and I wasn't trying to dunk on him, but they said, oh, but this seems like an awful lot of nepotism by Triple H. And I'm like, well, that's welcome to all wrestling ever forever. Oh, we got Denise.
Do I work now?
I mean, it was still a little grainy, but you know what? We're going to rock with it. We're going to rock with it.
I don't know what's happening. It just goes in and out. I turned it on. I turned it off. I prayed. I don't know what's going on. I said a prayer. I have no idea.
Well, Denise, Johnny Gargano is back.
Yes, he is.
And now we can talk about the actual promo. He said, Evangelina Gray says, I missed you guys. And her, never having watched NXT, saying, I missed you too. It felt genuine. It felt great. His music hit and the crowd was like, what? It's like, really? He's back? And he said that he thought about retiring, and then he thought about his child and thought about his dreams and wanted his child to know that you could accomplish those dreams no matter how big they are. Let's talk about him talking before Theory came out. And just the surprise aspect of this, Denise, this was a shocker.
Yeah, it definitely was. I had that kind of my reaction was, you know, I was watching, right? And then I saw, like, I heard the music, I saw his name flash up on the screen, and I read, I was like, oh yeah, Gargano. And then I was like, oh shit, Gargano. It was like this thing where you had to do this like double take. And I really thought it was awesome because I legitimately was not expecting him here tonight. So for me, it was kind of like, oh shoot, like this is really happening right now. And instantly I just thought like, oh my God, you know, we had been waiting and wondering, you know, what was going to happen. I felt like for the most part, I felt pretty positive with Triple H, like, you know, taking over and, you know, running creative and all of that. I felt pretty positive that we were going to be seeing Johnny Gargano return to WWE. But at the same time, you just never really know until it happens. And so when it did, I was surprised. And then the promo with him just basically talking about how, you know, he's a father now and he has baby wrestling. That was really cute. You know, he talks about how, you know, he reiterates his accolades from NXT. All of that. I think he got a really great reaction. It legitimately felt like a surprise. And everything that he said was simple, straight to the point, and it was nice.
Yeah, it was great to see. And like I said, that's the kind of person that you want in your locker room. Punks are Punk says, on my way home from the show, apparently my reaction to Gargano made it on TV. Still shaking. What a show. Love you guys. You went to a great show. You went to a good show. And that's the thing. Like, if Raw comes to your town now, you're getting a ticket because you don't want to miss something. You don't want to miss a big moment or a classic match. And any given week now, you are being conditioned to believe that one of these things are happening. You're going to see a big turn or a title match or a classic match or a return or something that shocks you. And that's what wrestling, that's what WWE has missed for a long time.
And I feel like now with Johnny Gargano, and you know, I know that Triple H has had plenty of surprises, you know, Hit Row, Dakota Kai, all of that. But this is the first legitimate person that I really feel signifies the change for this new chapter, this new era, whatever you want to call it. Like, this does feel like the first official huge move for Triple H. And it also kind of like, it makes you wonder, like, you know, what the possibilities are going to be like, where they're going to go from here, how things are going to be different, because we all knew that, like, you know, so many times, how many people were like, oh yeah, you know, Johnny Gargano was never going to be on the main roster because of this, this or that, and Vince this and Vince that. And it was like, damn, you know, he's done everything he can on NXT. He's had like great match after great match. And then for him to finally, it feels so crazy when you think about everything that had to happen for him and for other people in the future to get these opportunities, like on the main roster in WWE. Like, it's kind of crazy when you think about everything that had to happen for there to be change.
Leonza says, Gargano is my Daniel Bryan. I missed the Yes movement, but he's the reason I fell for NXT. He's the perfect underdog babyface. Please push him to the moon. He is a great underdog babyface. That's what his promo exemplified. And we have Steve Fulhart saying, I think Triple H heard the complaints about Raw Hour 3. Not only that, it's football season again. And pun intended, far too often we saw WWE punt on Monday nights. They were just like, ain't nobody going to watch, so why even try? That ain't this guy. That ain't Triple H. And that ain't hour three of WWE Raw anymore. They did something that they knew was going to get people talking, and it did. Connor says, honestly, thought I'd fallen asleep and dreamt about Johnny coming out. Great surprise. And he did tweet he wanted it to be a surprise. It was. Eddie McMack says, the Triple H era is in full effect with the return of Johnny. Who's next in line to return?
I also got to wonder, like, what... And, you know, I think aside from Dakota Kai, he's really the only one. Dakota Kai was a surprise, and Johnny Gargano was a surprise. Hit Row was not really that big of a surprise.
I mean, they were still a surprise.
That big of a surprise in terms of, like, completely unexpected out of nowhere.
Dexter was a surprise. Like, there have been some surprises. But I honestly think that Cross was a surprise as well, and Scarlett. But I think Braun and Bray are two that they should bring back. And I know a lot of people are like, Braun, control your narrative. If you look back at how he was in 2017 and 2018, he was one of the most fascinatingly booked characters for a period of time until that Nicholas bullshit. Until that Nicholas bullshit, he was a very fascinating character. Line Drive says, I'm convinced myself of my own conspiracy that Johnny had Loomis kidnap Miz to get back with Ciampa. That would be interesting.
That crossed my mind because I know everybody's like, oh, are we going to get a DIY reunion, this and that, this and that. And I thought, well, that would be funny if they were to come through and be like, oh, I'm taking away from Miz. Because you got to wonder, like, why did they pair Miz and Ciampa in the first place? You know, maybe there's going to be, and I know that was like pre-Triple H and all that, but maybe there's got to be a new end game for this. And I'm thinking that could possibly be a possibility. It did cross my mind.
Jambeard says, I don't see Johnny trending yet, but I do see No Way Jose trending for what he did to a Winnipeg promotion. I didn't see that at all.
I didn't see it either. I didn't know what he did or why he's trending. I haven't heard about him in a while.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to smart me up on that because I don't have any idea. I know that he was supposed to work, or he worked dark this past weekend. But Nick says, great to see Johnny Gargano back. Wondering why they didn't do it in his hometown. With Dexter Lumis kidnapping The Miz 10 minutes before he came out, what do you think? Do you guys think Johnny sent him to do that?
I feel like multiple people are thinking that, so maybe there is something there.
Yeah. I think that there might be a little bit to it, but that's the thing. I like not knowing. I like questioning it. I like having that doubt in my mind one way or another that this might be the case. Nas says he scammed an appearance, then went on dark. That is uncharacteristic of him. So I hope that that gets rectified. But we've got just a ton more super chats. TK says the slow realization of the crowd for Johnny was awesome. All of a sudden I'm interested in theory for the first time since NXT. Well, Austin Theory comes out and immediately you're like, it's the way. And Johnny reacts accordingly. Theory is like, a lot of stuff has changed. And Johnny's like, yeah, I'm really happy for you, man. And you can see the frustration in Theory. He's ready to turn on Johnny, but Johnny's not a dummy. So Johnny just super kicks him as they're posing. I love it.
I'm glad they did this too, because I didn't want to see a reunion. I didn't think that was the way to go. And I know a lot of people have suggested it, but I did not want that to be the thing that, you know, this is the time to do something new, something different, to see this Johnny Gargano that we, you know, a lot of his fans thought that he could be right on the main roster. I didn't want to see the way come back together again. That's not where I was going with this. So I'm personally glad that it kind of worked out the way that it did.
By the way, it is, I guess the money was returned from No Way Jose, so there you go. Jambeard says, according to the promo of Primo, he scammed them out of a 1K plane ticket and appearance. Instead of flying to WPG, he flew to Orlando to get on Dark. Listen, all due respect to No Way Jose, why the fuck are you spending $1,000 on a plane ticket? For what the...
Wait,
I'm sorry. It's
he
a
paid
shock.
For his own plane ticket?
No,
no, they
there's
paid
no
for
way.
Him, right?
Yes, they did. Yeah. But why are you buying him a $1,000 plane ticket?
The booker. Yeah, okay.
My God.
But
My
still,
God.
That sucks. I feel like sometimes like
there's some stuff about this guy being anti-vax and racist and a bunch of other things, the promoter. So what we're gonna do is not touch that at all. We're not going to talk about that at all until I get some facts here. So respectfully, I'm going to buzz off with the No Way Jose stuff. N. Simmons says, originally I wanted Johnny in AEW, but I haven't been a fan of how they book talent, especially Malakai and Andrade. And then Vince left. I wanted him in WWE. Objectively, a great decision that he waited, and objectively better, I think, that he's in WWE than AEW. If this were about 8 or 9 months ago, I would have been like, well, I would prefer he be in AEW. Not now. Now I think there is an honest-to-God track record and possibility that Johnny will be booked really well. And I think it's the best move for him, Denise.
I think so, too, because it's like there's an opportunity now for him to be a main focus on a show instead of maybe sporadically being, because it would have been like, okay, if he would have gone into AEW, it would have been a huge pop, a huge moment regardless. That was bound to happen. We were going to see things consistently with him for a good amount of time. But then after that, who's to tell what's going to, what could have happened? There's a lot of big stars on AEW and a lot of people to showcase. And there's just more of an opportunity right now in WWE for you to be focused on, to be a focal point on the show. If you are a big star, there is an opportunity there for you. You might as well take it, seize it, see what you can do.
And Simmons says, just tuned in. Wanted to say, I love how they did the Johnny return. Just dropped it. The crowd for a split second didn't recognize the music and slowly realized who it was. Give him money in the bank. I am fully in favor of him winning money in the bank from Theory. Like, I would love him to goad Theory and teach him a lesson. Like, Theory wants him in the ring. Johnny's like, nah. Like, he plays the sort of like the heel aspect of like, no, I'm not going to give you the match that you want. You want this a lot more than I do. I don't have anything to prove against you. You have everything to prove against me. Put that money in the bank on the line too, by the way. I think if anybody could goad him out of it, it's the guy that was his father figure on TV.
Yeah, if they're going to do it, they might as well do it that way instead of doing like what they did with The Miz and Otis, where they were doing the whole law thing and the whole court thing. If you're going to do that, do it this way where he like, he puts it on the line. That's the only way. Anything else is going to be like too goofy. So if he puts it on the line, totally cool with that. But I don't see, and I feel like that's a cool way to go about it, but I don't even think he needs to do that, to be honest, to get the money in the bank. He doesn't even need to. He could just be Johnny Gargano and do his thing and, you know, eventually get his way up into the title picture.
You know, Denise, when you have money in the bank, it's having a little bit of green, but we're giving you a lot of green with athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Join the movement of athletes, life leads, moms, dads, rookies, first timers, everyone in between taking ownership of their daily health. And we're going to give you an immune-supporting one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/Fightful and give AG1 a try. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. It's good for any lifestyle. They've improved the formula over 53 times over the last decade. 75 multivitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients. It's got a multivitamin, which is much better to drink than taking a tablet, a multimineral, a probiotic for gut health, green superfood blend, and more. If you're not getting enough greens, this stuff has you covered. Your entire daily recommended serving. It's going to support that healthy immune system, replace a bunch of products and pills. It is the category leading superfood product. And it brings you comprehensive and convenient daily nutrition. Check it out. athleticgreens.com/a fightful. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants. Get it all. athleticgreens.com/a fightful. More Johnny. Everybody wants to talk about Johnny.
I wonder why.
Tom Brady wants Gargano versus Gunther. I would love that match. That'd
Dude,
be great.
Hell yeah.
Gargano could play an incredible underdog there. Brandon Fight says Rollins and Gargano would absolutely be a barn burner. 100%. He's got fresh matchups with everybody on the main roster, and he can work as an underdog babyface against all of them, Denise.
It's so crazy, like, given how long he's been with the company and just how crazy, like, these opportunities haven't happened. It's exciting. I mean, obviously for obvious reasons, but still, it's pretty exciting to see that.
God damn it, Ray on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming says, how long till they pull the briefcase from Theory and give it to Johnny? And Leonza says, Austin and Johnny for the briefcase. I hope that's the play. I hope that's the move. Even if you want to do it in a ladder match, that makes a lot of sense because Gargano could say, listen,
I would like that.
If you want to earn this, do it in a ladder match against me. Show me that you deserve this stuff. I raised you to deserve this stuff. There are so many elements that they can do with this that pays off that NXT stuff. Nicholas says, how do you feel the way came back out of nowhere after the commercial? And how far back do you think he re-signed? This is a hunch. It's not a report. I think a couple weeks ago. I was scheduled to interview Johnny. Let me see. It was, I think, August. I'm just going to look. I'm just going to look and make sure that I get it right. I was supposed to interview Johnny August 10th or 11th. And I think then is when it probably happened. I'm going to find out when it happened. Wrestling break. And by the way, I loved how they did it right after the break. I thought that was great. It's conditioning you repeatedly. You got to pay attention. I loved that when Bailey and her crew came out earlier, they let the music hit. You saw them and they went to a commercial. It was great. Wrestling Breakdown says awesome Raw. Every match had time. Every match felt like it mattered. We got to see some good in-ring work. Oh yeah. And Gargano. I agree with most of that. I do agree with Denise that the Bailey Aaliyah thing could have been shorter because I want it to feel unpredictable. Like I don't want to expect a 7, 8, 9 minute match.
Yeah, this one didn't need it. That one didn't need it.
D Burn says, went to walk the dog, came back inside to Rebel Heart. Are we sure we're not living in a simulation? It's the 2020s. Good thing don't happen anymore. Denise, how are you feeling covering Mondays, Fridays now? Because
I feel like it's worth it now to actually watch live. I mean, I was already watching live before, but now I feel like I'm getting a little bit more out of it versus, you know, there was a couple of weeks there where I thought I could tune in an hour late and I'll be fine. No big deal. But now I actually feel like I'm being rewarded for watching live and sitting through the commercials.
And I tune in at 8. I don't watch like an hour later. Austin Clutter says, biggest return of the night is Denise's internet. Sofa says, it was unexpected, but they literally came back from the commercial and said, here's Johnny. And I was expecting, I was honestly thinking I was seeing things after it happened. Like, excuse me.
Everyone did a double take.
That's what we needed. That's what we needed was spontaneity. Dream Ninja says, Papa H made me a very happy wrestling fan today. Show was fun. There are multiple ongoing themes weekly. Beth Rhea is dream match stuff. Gargano, KO, and Beth are three of my all-time favorites. This ruled. People are being rewarded for investing in people that invest in their work. And I think that's one of the things that people often take issue with when somebody without the wrestling background who doesn't care about it gets this monster push. We're like, well, they didn't invest the same way that we did emotionally into wrestling and love it the way that we did. And now we're seeing people that did do that get their due.
And that's why when he was running down all of his things, everyone was like, yeah, we know, a huge majority. It's like, yeah, like this is somebody that we know. It's different to have him, it's different to have this moment than, for example, like even when they had, do you remember, like obviously when they brought in Karrion Kross into the main roster the first time and it was like crickets and all of that, totally different vibe this time around, having somebody like Johnny Gargano who, did a little bit more and whatnot.
Orlando says Gargano versus Mysterio, Styles, Reigns, Gargano versus McIntyre, Miz, everyone. All fresh matchups. And Nerd Guru says his return being out of nowhere is much preferred rather than setting it up. I was watching Raw to the side while playing a game, and I hear that song and thought, holy shit, welcome back, Johnny Wrestling.
I've always wondered like how people watch Raw. That's very interesting to me. Like he's playing a video game and watching Raw. Like, I don't know. I like to know that kind of stuff. Like when you're watching Raw, like, are you fully paying attention? It's different. Obviously, like, for me, I'm like taking notes and whatnot and writing things down and tweeting and all of this stuff. But for everybody else, like, I'm curious to know, like, do you watch Raw completely now? Well, what's the habit? Interesting.
Carlos Easy says, I'm afraid I'm hallucinating because I swear I saw Johnny Gargano on the main roster in a Canadian Destroyer main event. Oh, we're about to talk about that. We are about to talk about that. We're getting through these Johnny super chats, but I saw a top rope Canadian Destroyer on main event 2 weeks ago. Insane times we're living in. Nicholas says, since I'm subbed, when I heard Rebel Heart, I thought it was Theory joking us. Because in your plans, you posted it was a Theory promo listed. That is how it was listed backstage. It was listed as an Austin Theory promo.
That would have been so messed up.
They went above and beyond to keep this quiet.
They want the dirt sheet boy to find out.
I know. I mean, listen, if there's one person you don't want to find out, it is me. So I don't blame them. And they know I see those at this point. So why wouldn't you keep it from me? Jerry says, Clash is going to be my first ever major wrestling show I see live. And if I get Gargano Theory there, I may die. Also, Rhea looked badass needing both Priest and Ballard to hold her back. She feels more like modern day China every week. I would hope that Johnny's wrestling soon because it's been 9 months. I'm ready to see him in the ring.
I'm sure he's ready to go in the ring.
Asian Joe says everything was right about Johnny's segment. The announcer staying silent for the moment. Theory and NXT history being canon with the main roster. Yes. What I didn't need is it? Could it be? It is. Oh my. I didn't need all that bullshit over and over again.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that. They could have easily done that, but they didn't. It was all very nicely executed.
Joel says, do you see Sasha and Naomi returning to confront Io and Kai if they win the tag titles? Yeah, I think that'll probably happen. And I hope it happens. KE775 says, think Indy is doing the favors for Blair Davenport and then is Raw bound. I would like to think so. It seems like the cards are all set for that to happen, Denise, and that would make an awful lot of sense. And hey, you know what? Indy and Candace as a team again in the future wouldn't hurt either.
I feel like for the most part, I've started to only see her as a character, as a personality on NXT. To me, like, I feel like she hasn't been wrestling that often on the show to even like really, I don't see her that much as a wrestler anymore. I see her more as a personality, quite frankly, based on, you know, her work that she's been doing on NXT. So for me, I would kind of rather see her more in a personality driven role, mainly just because I feel like that's her strong suit.
Jambeard says, speaking of main event, I love the Twitter banter on your tweet between T-Bar and Mia Yim about Shelton. I love it too. Like, if you ever tweet about T-Bar's main event match, he's going to be like, it was a banger. And they usually are. He's very good. Trevor L says, I was outside burning one and heard Rebel Heart and was toe tapping along and 20 seconds later realized what happened and fanboyed big time. You were burning one, all right. I love that. I love that. Nicholas says, do you think commentary knew Johnny was there?
Yes, right?
I'm not. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I can tell you that there were people who would usually know this type of thing that did not know until about 3 or 4 minutes before Johnny was just walking through. And then, bam, there he is. Now, I'm sure they were told a little bit ahead of time, but.
Like, expect a surprise.
Or Johnny's coming. Well, then we get Edge defeating Damian Priest in Toronto. They went balls to the wall. Edge doing top rope Hurricane Ranas, diving to the outside. He did the South of Heaven choke slam to Damian Priest, which we have a Making a Finisher up on YouTube.com/Fightful, by the way. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We're heading down the home stretch. At the end of the match, Priest clocks Edge with a bar off the steel chair. And after Edge wins, Judgment Day attacks, but Beth Phoenix makes the save. This felt like a pay-per-view match. It had the hype video build to it, Denise. We got a big moment after this. I see that little grin on your face, though. I feel like you're going to bury this.
What? I'm sorry. What was I doing? I wasn't doing. I was just listening to you.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, your guesses were too far off. Oh, I'm boy. Sorry. It was okay. I'm sorry. It was fine. I loved like midway through the end. I thought it was an okay match. There were some parts where I did just kind of wasn't that interested in. I thought the beginning was a little bit took too long. It took too long for things for me to get invested in this match. And I don't think I ever really did.
Damn, Denise.
I'm sorry. Am I a bitch? I'm a bitch, huh? I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm not going to call you a bitch because of your wrestling opinions, but man, I loved this. Edge pulled out some stuff that he hadn't pulled out before. He took to the crowd after the show and said he might be saying goodbye to them next year. He did not outright say he was retiring from what I understand. So, I mean, I know that's the rumor going around, but Beth Phoenix being involved. Beth Phoenix, Rhea Ripley is a dream match for me. Beth Phoenix is my favorite women's wrestler of all time. I'm so excited to see her back.
I love how you know, Rhea Ripley, she's been attacking all these men, right? Like, that's been her thing. And then it took a woman, it took Beth Phoenix to basically put, like, hit the brakes on her. Yeah. I kind of liked that little story. That was actually my favorite part of the whole thing.
Torchcrawler says, Beth, Rhea has me excited, but the Judgment Day is total doo-doo, reaching irredeemable. They make them so corny. Stop making them corny.
They make Finn Balor really corny. I don't know what it is. He's like, oh.
They make him corny. Know what it is. But Denise, the spot of the match. A Canadian destroyer. Holy crap.
I've seen a bunch of Canadian destroyers, Sean.
It's 50!
I know, but I've seen a bunch Denise! Of Canadian destroyers. It's going to take a little bit more for me to be like, ah.
Muted. When have you seen a Canadian destroyer on WWE main roster, WWE Raw TV?
I know that, Sean. I understand where you're coming from, and I respect your analysis.
The pile driver has been banned. Hold on. The pile driver has been banned so long that the Canadian destroyer literally did not exist yet back then, Denise.
I'm fully aware of that, Sean.
They banned the pile driver from WWE TV in like 99, 98.
The point is that I just didn't have that reaction. I'm sorry. You look like that meme, you little emoji. I'm sorry, Sean. I didn't have the same, oh my God, I'm going to jump out of my chair reaction. I was like, oh, okay, fine, that's nice. I'm sorry.
Denise.
I'm sorry, okay? I just can't fake my enthusiasm.
Jason wants your internet to go out again. We have not seen like a regular ass pile driver even on WWE Raw since John Cena versus CM Punk. And they weren't allowed to do that. They got scolded afterwards. Sage says, muting Denise for burying the Canadian Destroyer was the best move of the night. SRS is the true interim tag team champion. That I am, Denise.
I'm sorry. First
Canadian Destroyer, maybe in Raw history.
Look, I get
and so hold
that.
On, wait. Somebody says, was Dustin doing them before he left? No, he was doing the Code Red. Not the same thing. That's a sunset flip bomb.
Okay,
type of thing.
So hold the phone. Just because WWE hasn't been doing it, I have to be reacting like, oh my God, just because they did it. I'm sorry, I don't feel that way. I've been seeing them left and right everywhere. It's a norm now. I can't be like OMG about it. It's like, I get it. Okay, so we're celebrating because they finally did one. Whoop whoop. I've been seeing it everywhere.
D Burns show, can we talk about Balor Priest getting new Judgment Day remixes for their own entrances? Not going to lie, they sound great. That was a nice touch. Like, I didn't know how long or if they will stick with the Alter Bridge thing, because ultimately Alter Bridge is like an Edge thing. Like, that's his. So to bring that into Judgment Day, it made a lot of sense because he had that connection. But without him there, I mean, you could say that they're using it to add insult to injury, but I don't like them continuing to use it, so I'm glad they added a remix. Trevor L says, Edge literally knocked Charles Robinson's shoes off.
Bro, he's sending out. Yeah. See, I was looking at that, and I was like, oh, shit.
That you're like, oh, shit, a shoe! But Canadian destroyer from a 50-year-old guy.
Did you see the way that he fell? He was he was like a spaghetti, a noodle. Sorry, that caught my attention.
Leonza says, he did a Canadian destroyer in Canada. Rome Gray says, okay, so maybe there were like some Ray ones as well, but like from what I understand, or what I remember, it was like straight up in the ring on Raw. I don't remember seeing another one on Raw. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe y'all can super chat me about it. But you'll have to do it this Wednesday. I'll be on Listen Your Boy in the post AEW show. Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
Twitter and Instagram at underscore Denise Salcedo, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo.
Guys, stop telling me that Ray did it in the Thunderdome. We don't fact check on this podcast. No fact checking.
When did Ray do it in the Thunderdome?
Who cares? We don't fact check. Guys, thank you all so much. This was a very popular show. I had somebody on Twitter say,
you guys just buried WWE. Why would anybody tune in?
Well, as it turns out, when the show was good, we don't. We don't. And the show sucked for many, many years before this. But I am having a hoot of a time covering WWE. And I'm having a lot of fun working Mondays. Hope you guys continue to join us. Leave a thumbs up. We love you all. Oh, wait, Jambeard says, missed my super chat about banned moves. Luis!
Poor Luis.
Luis, I'll give you time to catch it. And Simmons says, clearly Denise's fetish for sub teacher videos is clouding her judgment. This is a 50-year-old man who we thought would never wrestle again.
Okay, what do you want me to do? I'm sorry.
By the way, if you're going to tell us that you missed a super chat, just tell us what it was. Jambeard says, now that Vince is out, do you think we see a return to banned moves like pile drivers or burning hammers? Yes, 100%. Absolutely. Triple H is going to trust these people to be safer. Denise, if Vince had Triple H modern day, the pedigree would have been banned because he did a pedigree once and Marty Garner went completely vertical and landed right on the top of his head. And that move would have been banned after that. Wouldn't have been able to do it anymore.
Sad face emoji.
Yeah. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.